radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Glad you could tune in for this special edition of In the Country. We call the next hour Country Up Close, bringing you news, reviews, and artist spotlights, including a visit from Grand Prairie, Alberta's very own Tennille. At just 17 years old, she had a Female Artist of the Year nomination at the just-passed CCMAs in Hamilton, Ontario. She's going to come and talk to us about her time at the CCMAs, and she's got one of her songs to share with us, so it'll be great to catch up with her. She'll be in the Country Up Close Artist Spotlight, as will country legend Glenn Campbell. There's a lot to cover on the show, and joining me for the full hour is my very special guest, Carly Justice. Carly is a country music blogger and journalist based in Raleigh, North Carolina. She's written for Roots Music Blog, Engine 145, great country music website to check out online, Pioneer Country Music website, we all know and love, the 9513, as well as Country Standard Time. She's also appeared on CMT Network's Artist Profile Series. Now, when not debating who would win a wrap-off between Jason Aldean and Colt Ford, she's rounding out her iPod with every Keith Whitley, Jamie Johnson, and Alan Jackson song ever released. And it's my pleasure to welcome her to the show, Carly Justice. Hey, Carly.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I've been reading you online for quite a while now, and you do great reviews, album reviews, single reviews, and obviously a great country music fan with those three last names I mentioned there on your iPod all the time.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I love me some old honky-tonk country music, but some of the new stuff is great, too, coming out lately.
Yeah, there's such a good mixture of stuff. I mean, I as well, I love the new brand new songs, but I also can't get enough of hearing the classics, and Keith Whitley certainly falls into that category. Now, let's quickly off the top here, this wrap-off here. Of course, Jason Aldean, Dirt Road Anthem, does some rapping in that, and Colt Ford in a couple of his songs. They've really managed to put a little rap in, and it really fits, doesn't it? It works.
Yeah, it's crazy that you know, Jason Aldean was able to take that song to number one, and I think you really saw that come out in the recent CMA nominations between, you know, him and Blake Shelton. I think they really swept it this year, and, you know, say what you will about Jason Aldean and what he does, but I think that's a really genre-pushing, forward-thinking type of song, and honestly, you know, as much as I wanted to dislike it, it really has grown on me.
Yeah, it's one of those things, at first, if somebody were to say country rap and maybe listen to it the first time, but it works. It sounds country when he's, it is a rap, of course, but it fits. I mean, he's talking about country things within it, and country music, of course, always has had recitations, so the spoken word is definitely a big part of country music as well.
It is, and, you know, you always hear about people say, you know, what, I like all kinds of music except country and rap. And I think that the two genres have more in common than a lot of people think. And it's interesting how he pieced all of that together.
Very cool. Let's get into some big news that just happened recently. Up this past Monday, George Jones, the Possum, country music legend we all know and love, turned 80 years old. And last night on the Opry, I know you had a chance to listen online. I was listening online to this great celebration. The Oak Ridge Boys were there, Alan Jackson, Leanne Womack, and great tribute to George Jones, 80 years old. He was there as well and sounded and looked great. Can you talk a bit about that night, that very special night?
Yeah, I was so excited to tune in because it really was probably some of my most favorite artists all in one place, tribute to probably my most favorite artist of all time, George Jones. But I would say the highlights of the night for me were Alan Jackson. He sang probably George Jones' most famous song, He Stopped Loving Her Today, and I thought he did a great job on that. Leanne Womack, she did The Grand Tour, which is another one of my favorite George Jones songs. But like you mentioned earlier, I love me some Jamie Johnson, and he performed probably one of my most favorite George Jones songs. He did a little piece of Walk Through This World with me that I really enjoyed.
Definitely. And Jamie Johnson does that classic country so well. And, of course, his big hit a few years ago, In Color, proved that if it's a great song, even if it sounds as country as that did, which is a great thing, it can still make it on the radio, same as Whiskey Lullaby. If the song is great, and I guess some other circumstances have to fall into place, but we can still hear those great country songs.
It's true. It's encouraging, especially, you know, he's been able to get some great songs through people like George Strait and Trace Adkins. So I do hope we hear more of him on the radio.
Now, I just heard this online, actually on WSM, listening online this morning, and then I was reading a bit more online. Don Wayne, famous songwriter, passed away recently at 78. Some of his big songs, I mean, he had a bunch of them, but back in 1974, Country Bumpkin, Cal Smith took to the top of the charts. And before that, in 1964, Saginaw, Michigan, Lefty Frizzell. So sad to see Don Wayne pass away, but left so many great songs.
Yeah, we've lost a lot of great songwriters lately, it seems like. And honestly, you know, I think it's one of the best things ever that George Jones actually made it to 80 years old. So very thankful for that, that he was actually there to tribute last night.
It is a good thing for us indeed. And speaking of classics, and someone who did pass away quite young at the age of 29, The Lost Notebooks of Hank Williams. It's an album, it's unreleased Hank Williams lyrics that have been set to music by many of today's big stars in country and sort of outside of country. There's 12 songs on it. There's Alan Jackson, Norah Jones, Vince Gill and Rodney Crowell together, Patti Loveless, Holly Williams, who is Hank Williams' granddaughter, Hank Williams Jr.'s daughter. And these are, and I'll let you tell us a bit more of this, and I understand you've had a chance to listen to the album. But again, Hank Williams' lyrics that were sitting around forever, and now these artists have put music to them and come up with this album.
Yeah, I was very interested in the project because, of course, you know, I've seen firsthand the impact of Hank Williams on the industry, even though he left us so early on. But, you know, there was a lot of controversy about this because, you know, I heard someone mention, if you found some half-finished Picasso paintings somewhere in Europe, would you get artists to finish them and then, you know, present them as a collection? And so I thought that was a really interesting point. But when I listened to the album, which I was fortunate to get a couple weeks ago, you know, I knew that people like Alan Jackson, Bob Dylan, Norah Jones, Vince Gill, Patti Loveless, I mean, those are people who can really interpret a country song. So I really enjoyed it. Probably some of my favorites were the Vince Gill and the Merle Haggard songs on the album. But you also have kind of a couple wild cards as well. You've got Bob Dylan, Jack White, Bob's son, Jacob Dylan, even Sheryl Crow, which I thought to be sort of an odd choice. But, you know, I think it works. I think you can definitely tell that these are Hank Williams songs. But I do know there was a bit of a controversy, too, because Hank Williams, I guess, grandson, Hank III, who's had a country music career, he wasn't invited to be a part of the project. So he's not on here, even though Holly is.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting indeed, because that would have been his take on one of the songs would have been interesting. But and I was going to ask you, and as you said, it does sound like Hank Williams' song. So if we didn't know any better, listening to these, we would think these were 1950s, 60s songs, Hank Williams' country hits.
Absolutely, I think they really stayed true to the production. Nothing sounds, you know, like a Hank Williams song in 2011. It definitely sounds like it's from the era. You can totally see Hank Williams, you know, his words and his sort of arrangements reflected in these songs. So, I mean, I'd be interested to know how finished these songs were and what they actually did to them past what they found, you know, in the trash can outside of record label in Nashville. But, I think it's well done. But still, you know, I think it's a question of can you really finish someone's work who isn't here with us anymore?
That's a very good point, and the Picasso illustration it sort of defines it as well. But I'm sure Hank Williams fans would enjoy listening to it and fans of classic country music. And, again, it's The Lost Notebooks of Hank Williams. I think it's available October 4th for the public, and maybe check online to see what stores that would be at. As we get out of the news in just a moment and into some reviews from you, any headlines there that you wanted to share with us, Carly?
Well, you know, speaking of new releases, I think it's a bigger story as well is Miranda Lambert's Pistol Annie's group. I think beyond just being a great collection of song, one of my probably favorite albums of the year, I think it's great that Miranda has proved, you know, that you can have these side projects that sort of, you know, I think whet her appetite for producing the really super hardcore country and being a great introduction to people that, you know, her fans have no idea, Ashley Monroe and Angelina Presley, these great singer-songwriters finally getting sort of a mainstream spotlight shown on them.
So this could actually propel the other two artists that you mentioned possibly to have singles of their own as solo artists at some point as Pistolani's gets more and more radio success.
I certainly hope so. You know, Ashley Monroe is one of my absolute favorite female artists right now. She co-wrote The Truth, which was a number one hit for Jason Aldean. And, you know, Angelina Presley had a big hit recently with Ashton Shepard's Look It Up. So they both have had very recognizable, very successful songs on radio by other artists. But, you know, I like I said, I love Ashley Monroe. I think she has a record coming out soon on another label. She finally switched over. But I'm very excited to hear more from all three of them.
And the single that we're hearing on the radio now from Pistolani's is called Hell on Heels. And it's got a real traditional sound, southern sound. It's just got something very unique that you don't hear. And I think that's what's caught everybody's ear.
Yeah, it's a very swampy, sort of gritty sound. I love that single. It's the first thing I heard from them, of course, however many months ago when they first started, the rumors started spreading that this may become an album. And all the other songs don't disappoint as well. They're very hard-hitting, they're very truthful and honest, and they're very twangy. I mean, it's incredible how very country these songs are, and I really appreciate that.
Now, do you know how the group was formed? Had they planned it for a while, or was it just kind of something they were doing for fun and it became a big project?
Right. I think Ashley and Miranda, they've written songs together for a long time, so they were already good friends. And I think it was just a few months ago that as the kind of sleepover story goes, they were sitting on Miranda Lambert's couch, and Ashley Monroe mentioned, "You've got to hear this girl's music, Angelina Presley." And so I think they fired up MySpace, heard some of her songs, and actually gave her a call that night, and she thought they were just crazy. She had no idea what they were talking about. And literally, I think just a few weeks later, they started writing together, touring together even. I think there's a Pistol Annie set in the middle of Miranda Lambert's tour right now. So all of that happened, and they started collecting these songs, piecing them together in the studio while Miranda was recording her next album. So I think it was just they really wanted to get this done. And even before they had sign-off or agreements with the label, it was just something that you could tell they were really pouring their hearts into.
That's really great that she can do that side project, still come up with her music, and maybe she can put a different spin on the music with the Pistolani's, although it's close to what she does already, but it can maybe stretch the boundaries a bit. Do you think there's some more singles on there beyond Hell on Heels that are going to climb the charts as well?
Yeah, there's one called Boys from the South, which it'll be interesting to see, you know, what Miranda's label lets them do just because Miranda's record is coming out so soon, so I'm sure they'll be pushing singles from that. But one song called Boys from the South, I can totally see it on radio. It's a definite standout on the album, and it features Miranda mostly on vocals, but it's a great song, very catchy.
Nice. Now, Eric Church has an album out and a song from it that has done well on radio is called Homeboy. It took me a couple of listens to get to the point where I liked it, but because it's a different kind of song. But it's got a real cool hook in it, and I guess it is addressing issues, very important issues.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned that it's growing on you because that's really what all of Eric Church's music has done for me. My first listen, I don't really get it. I feel like it's all over the place. He's just, you know, trying to do too many things. I felt that way with the first album, then it became one of my favorites. And
right.
When I first reviewed his new album, Chief, which it has Homeboy on it, it really struck me as just having too much going on. It felt like he was trying to do way too many things. But there are some definite standouts on the new album as well. More so than Homeboy, I think there's another song called Hungover and Hard Up, as well as one called Over When It's Over. And those two, I think, really showcase his writing, which I think is very strong and sort of strips away all of the loudness and the posturing that you always get from his songs, I feel like. So I really like those two.
Yeah, he did a song, might have been on his previous album, called Lightning, which wasn't a big hit, But I saw him do it on the Opry, and there may have been a video for it, but it didn't climb the charts, but about somebody on death row, done so well. It's a ballad, of course, but very powerful, and he is capable of some great songs, too.
Yeah, I think him, really, and Miranda Lambert are two of the most edgy and forward-thinking country music artists right now. He doesn't kind of rest on his laurels and just do what everyone else is doing, and I think the same is true for Miranda. So I'll definitely give both of them, you know, kudos for that, because they don't, their music doesn't sound the same every time you hear it.
Which is always a good thing. Now, any other singles standing out at the moment or albums that are really catching your ear?
Well, of course, George Strait, which is sort of a no-brainer, but really like his new album and the new single Here for a Good Time. I think it's just, you know, speaking of music that sounds the same all the time, but in a good way, is George Strait. It's just a great, authentically country song, exactly what you would expect from George Strait.
Yeah, I did read a review like that where they said good news and bad news about a George Strait album is you know what to expect. So on one hand, you're getting similar stuff, but that's what you love. It's like comfort food. I mean, I always liked George Strait albums, and he's got a formula that works, and his new song, as you say, Here for a Good Time, is a fun song. It's a great one.
And something that I think is a little bit different about this album is he actually co-wrote a lot of the songs, which, you know, he's sort of in the George Jones vein where he's a great singer, great artist, but he doesn't necessarily write a ton of his material. And
right.
I think he co-wrote like 7 or 8 songs on this album with his son, actually. So kind of a twist on the George Strait formula.
Yeah, it's great to see him getting into that side of things. I think one of the early songs, which is just going back a year or so, or two, Living for the Night was one that he wrote from the Twang album. And so I guess he's got those creative juices going. And yeah, it is good to see when we know an artist has written the songs, because I think as listeners, when we know that, it adds something to the songs, maybe a little deeper meaning.
Definitely.
What about any favorite concerts lately, Carly? I'll just throw that out there. Any concerts you've seen or any underrated performers out there that you think should be getting more press?
Yeah, actually, I saw a artist come through here recently. His name is Whitey Morgan, and he has a band. It's very, very connected to sort of the outlaw country music. He's got a song that I think the hook goes, turn up the music and turn up the Jones. So that kind of clues you into where he's coming from. But I really like his sort of dirty, gritty take on country music. You're not hearing him on radio, but I would definitely suggest searching him out, trying to find some of his music. I think he does a great kind of mix of making it new, and you can definitely hear the throwback to Waylon Jennings, which another one of my favorite artists.
Nice. Let's get into the CMA nominations. We're going to cover those, and we've got Glenn Campbell in an artist spotlight here. We're going to talk about him. And around halfway through the show, we're going to have Tennille from Alberta, Canada, give us a shout, and she's going to catch us up on a few things. So the CMA nominations, let's go through what we've got there for maybe start with Entertainer of the Year.
Sure, sure. And like I mentioned earlier, I really think this is Blake Shelton and Jason Aldean's year, just in terms of the attention they've gotten. And it's obviously, you know, here in the nominations, you can see between, you know, the two of them, Brad Paisley, Keith Urban, and then you've always got Taylor Swift in there, sort of the wild card who has won
right.
it before. So.
Yeah, those are the Entertainer of the Year nominations, and it's the 45th CMA Awards coming up Wednesday, November 9th at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. Once again, Brad Paisley and Carrie Underwood will be hosting. They always do a great job. They've been doing it the last 3 or 4 years, always a lot of fun together.
They are, and I feel like I always enjoy what she does there. They do, I think last year her and Brad did a lot of sort of old country medleys with new lyrics, but I love hearing her kind of do that traditional sound, and I really hope one of her albums coming up, maybe like she did with the Randy Travis song. It would be great to hear
yes.
her do more of that.
Definitely. That's a great sound. It would be great to have her team up with some legends like Randy Travis, maybe even for an album of tributes, which would then bring those songs present to younger listeners who may not have heard some of the older songs.
Absolutely.
Do you have a pick with Entertainer of the Year? Anybody jump out at you, a favorite, or who you think might win?
I think it could be Taylor Swift's year again. You know, with the album that came out that got tons of critical praise, as well as, of course, huge sales. You know, she's been on this tour all year. I think she's a great ambassador for country music. She's not everyone's cup of tea, of course, but she does do a great job of entertaining and really being a great sort of figurehead for country music right now.
And female vocalist of the year, we've got Taylor Swift in that category, Sarah Evans, who's had a good comeback year, Miranda Lambert's in there, Martina McBride, and Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, very strong showing there. I am a little surprised that Reba McEntire, she's not on the list this year, replaced, I guess, by Sarah Evans, who, you know, she has. We hadn't heard a lot from Sarah Evans lately, and you really heard her come back with that single she's had out on radio, which sort of had, I think, a personal twist to it, considering all the things that have been going on in her personal life. But
right.
I would say Miranda Lambert may have a really strong shot at this.
Very nice. Male Vocalist of the Year, we've got Jason Aldean, Kenny Chesney's in there, Brad Paisley. Again, Blake Shelton and Keith Urban, all great singers. I mean, you know, any one of them could win it.
Absolutely. And here, like I mentioned earlier, I really think this is going to be Jason Aldean's year, which is interesting because I was just reading a story the other day that had a quote from him. I believe it was just from last year because he really hasn't gotten that many award nominations up until this point. And he was talking about how the awards don't really matter. It's more about the fans. But this year I had a new quote from him saying how excited they were about the nomination. So he'll probably change his tune about that if he actually wins.
Exactly. And I heard him the other day on a pop station with Don't You Want to Stay, his duet with Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
So he's gotten crossover with that, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. It really has been his year. You know, like or hate his music, you can't deny that he's one of the biggest artists right now.
Let's look at New Artist of the Year, and these people have all made a big impact. Eric Church, who we talked about earlier, Luke Bryan in there with Country Girl Shake It For Me, a big song. He's had several others prior to that. The band Perry, big on the scene, If I Die Young, one of their big songs. Thompson Square in there, and Chris Young, whose single Tomorrow is, I love that song. It's so traditional and just a great song all around.
Yeah, I would love to see Chris Young, even though I feel like he's not a new artist at all. But
right.
His new album, Neon, is just, I really like it. There's a little bit of filler on there, but when Chris Young really hits on a song, he really hits on a song. But I feel like maybe the band Perry is going to take this. They've had a great year ever since that huge song last summer. And I feel like I could really see them winning this. They're on a huge roll right now.
If I Die Young, a great song. Loved it the moment I heard it. A little bit different, just got a real artistic something to it. It's just a beautiful song. Thompson Square, Are You Gonna Kiss Me or Not? I like that song as well. Let's look at Single of the Year, and then we'll move on to our Glenn Campbell Spotlight. Single of the Year, we've got Sarah Evans, A Little Bit Stronger, her comeback song with that personal connection to the song with things that had gone on in her life. Colder Weather from the Zac Brown Band, love that song. Don't You Want to Stay is in there as well, Jason Aldean with Kelly Clarkson. Honey Bee from Blake Shelton, such a catchy song, I love it. And the band Perry, If I Die Young. I like all those. I couldn't pick a winner out of those.
Yeah, I think it's just song-wise, songwriting being considered, I would think the band Perry's If I Die Young. And it was such a huge song on radio. It's really one of those kind of once-in-a-career songs that if you heard it without knowing the success behind it, you would be like, this is never going to make it on country radio, and it just turned into a huge smash. You know, Jason Aldean and Kelly Clarkson, I would say, would probably be sneaking up behind them on that as well.
Definitely. And If I Die Young, as you mentioned there, it's not a song that if you had to pick a single, you might not think that's an obvious smash hit, but that's what happens. It's something a little different, and people want that.
I like it, yeah.
It's a great song. Well, let's talk about Glenn Campbell. Can you share some thoughts on him? And I mean, great legend. I understand he's on sort of a retirement tour.
Yeah, it's very interesting. They're calling it the Glenn Campbell Goodbye Tour, and it's on the heels of his most recent album, Ghost on the Canvas, which I was listening to just the other day. It's out now. But yeah, you know, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, so I think this was really his last hurrah, which I'm sure his fans are absolutely thrilled to get one last chance to really go to his concerts, hear that great music, you know, I'll always remember him by songs like Galveston and Rhinestone Cowboy, of course. But, you know, he's a Country Music Hall of Famer, definitely deserves that.
And a great guitarist is what he's known for. I've seen him in concert a couple times and recently in the last, say, 3 or 4 years. His voice is still going strong. And, I mean, the classics are just Galveston, Southern Nights, Rhinestone Cowboy. I mean, there's just something special about his voice.
Oh, absolutely. And he's had such success over the years. I think he's had, like, 6 albums in the top 20, 21 top 40 singles. I mean, you can't argue with, you know, longevity like that. So I think he's really going to go out on top here.
It's great, too, to hear the stations that play the classic cuts. And, you know, you listen to the new stuff on the radio, and then all of a sudden they'll play a Glen Campbell cut. And it just takes you back, and it's just a great feeling. I mean, his songs always make me feel good.
Exactly, and they're so connected to memories, and I really do. I like when stations will mix it in with people like him. I hear a lot of Alabama, I feel like, on the radio lately, probably thanks to Brad Paisley's new single. But, you know, I think it's a nice way to introduce people that are just discovering the genre through people, maybe like Taylor Swift, Carrie Underwood. I think it's really good to kind of keep the history involved in country music, especially on the radio.
I totally agree, and I love getting my country music from radio and the diversity of the songs from new to old to something different. And as you said, there with Brad Paisley, Alabama was one of my favorite groups and still is. Loved their music, bought all their stuff when it was out and was around when they were so big on the charts. So it's great to see Brad Paisley do that, and Carrie Underwood did with Randy Travis. Sometimes I think to myself, you know, it would be great if every country artist did one cut. Maybe the last cut on an album would be a classic cover with the artist or not, but just to keep the songs going strong.
I agree, and I think, you know, you see a lot of performances like Lady Antebellum at the last awards show. I think they did a cover of Prince. And so it's always interesting to me to see what covers people choose, you know, when they're doing things like that, even at their concerts. I've seen Kelly Pickler before. She does a huge section at the end of her concerts where she does stuff by Merle Haggard and Keith Whitley. So it's interesting to see, you know, what people kind of fall back onto. I'm sure that when they're covering songs, they definitely have a meaning to them. So to see, you know, the difference between someone like Kelly Pickler and Lady Antebellum choosing very different genres, decades even. And I always love going to a Jamie Johnson show because you know you're going to hear a huge array of great covers from really classic country.
Yeah, his sound is so terrific. His covers, his original stuff, and his album, The Guitar Song, with tons of songs on it, you were disappointed it didn't get up there, a nomination for Album of the Year this year, one that you really loved, eh?
I was, yeah, and I don't know, you know, there's so many things that go into this. I don't know if maybe that wasn't even able to be entered because of timing or what it was, but I really thought that, you know, it was one of the best albums of the year. Tons of songs, like you mentioned. It was a double album, and I really would be happy if he could just keep continuing to release multiple albums at a time. But, yeah, I think it's interesting that was left off, and this year, you know, there's so many different kinds of country music, and it's so easy to fall into the trap of saying, well, it's not the kind that I like, so it's not real country. And I think this year we're just heavy in pop country, kind of led there by Jason Aldean, who is probably even more rock country than anything. But, you know, I think there's definitely room for all kinds, and including Jamie Johnson's sort of more honky-tonk outlaw spin on things.
Definitely, and a similar thing, well, even more music, a couple of years back, Vince Gill did, I believe it was called These Days. It was 4 CDs of all original music. I mean, it was tons of songs, which is rare that somebody, unless it's a greatest hits album, does that. But all, and such great songs on it, too. An amazing collection for anyone who doesn't have it, the Vince Gill 4 CD set of original songs at that time, brand new stuff.
Yeah.
And hopefully Glen Campbell, now, hopefully he's got some more music to release because I know we want to get his stuff. Does he have a new album out, I'm trying to recall, just in the last little while?
He has. It was called Ghost on the Canvas, and I think it was
yes.
A question of all new. I listened to it briefly the other day, and it's definitely that Glen Campbell sound. If you're a fan, it won't disappoint.
Awesome. Good to do that and head online to check out more about Glenn Campbell. WSM is having a special on him. I was seeing online coming up, I think, in November, a bit later this year. So, you know, go back on YouTube and iTunes and in your iPods and fire up some Glenn Campbell music. Great memories there. We're going to turn now to an artist from Alberta, Canada. And she was at the CCMA Awards recently. Her name is Tennille, just 17 years old. She was nominated for Female Artist of the Year. She's got a brand new album out called Real. We're going to be hearing a song from it in just a few moments. And it's so great to talk to you, Tennille. Great to have you on the show. Glad you could join us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Dave. It's great to be here.
Hi, it's great to talk to you. I saw you on the awards. You looked great. And can you tell us a bit about the experience there, how exciting that was?
Absolutely. I mean, it was such an honor to attend the CCMAs this year as, you know, not only a delegate and a country music conference attendee, but a nominee. That was, you know, just a gigantic honor and such a blast. I had a great time seeing everyone in the industry. It's always wonderful catching up with everybody and hearing all the artists showcase and all the awards and everything that goes on behind the scenes of the actual CCMA awards. And so closing off with that nomination was, you know, just a huge honor. I've looked up to the ladies that I was nominated with forever, and that's the kind of country music that I grew up being inspired by. So to be on that list was a really surreal moment for me.
And just to go down some of the awards here, Michelle Wright, of course, got a big honor, inducted into the Canadian Country Music Hall of Fame. That was so great to see.
It was.
Dean Brody. Yeah, wasn't that a special moment? Did you have a chance to talk to Michelle?
You know what? I did, and she was so sweet and, you know, really kind, and I so appreciated the time she took to chat with me, and I absolutely loved hearing her acceptance speech into the Hall of Fame. That was a, you know, a really neat moment, seeing such a huge Canadian female icon being, you know, recognized for her 30 years in this industry. That was pretty neat to watch.
Yeah, incredible. So well-deserved and such a string of hits over the years. Take It Like a Man, she would be 16, and on and on. And she's influenced, I'm sure, you and so many other up-and-comers on the scene. Covering some of the other awards here, Dean Brody won 3, Single and Album of the Year and Songwriter of the Year. Those all tied into his beautiful song called Trail in Life. Johnny Reid, born in Scotland, raised in Ontario. In the last 2 years, he's won 10 CCMAs. And this year, incredible, this year, Male Artist, Fans Choice Entertainer, and Video of the Year for Today I'm Going to Try and Change the World, which, again, people, if they haven't seen the video on CMT or if they haven't seen it in a while, head to YouTube, and that is such an inspiring song and video. Terry Clark won Best Female Artist, and Hey Romeo. Wow, this was great. Group of the Year for them. I love their music. And Chad Brownlee was the rising star at this year's CCMAs. So just terrific winners there. And we know you've got some CCMAs in your future with your album Real. And we had talked about this on the show before. This was a great experience for you to put this together. And you've written, can you touch on some of the songwriters you've written with as part of the album, Tennille?
Absolutely. I was really fortunate to be able to be such a big part of the creative process on this album, having written or co-written 9 out of the 12 songs, which was, you know, so much fun being attached to those songs. I was really honored to work with my friends Dana and Sherry with No Limits from Peace River, and also worked with Tim Taylor a lot on this project, and he's a huge mentor of mine from Nashville, and it's, you know, I was just in Nashville this summer, actually, and we wrote our 20th song together. So we do a lot of writing together. And Miss Joni Delorier is another writer on the album. And
yes,
she's from Calgary and known also with her husband, Mr. Troy Coco, for their hits, you know, Secondhand Car by the Higgins and Pickup Truck by Shane Yellowbird. So
yes,
to have these
kind
of writers on this project was, you know, not only a ton of fun, but a really huge honor.
And people can head online to tennille.ca and learn more about the album and listen to tunes and download it from iTunes. But when you were on the show last time, you were getting set to open up for Easton Corbin. So tell us about that. I was in Grand Prairie, right there in your area of the world. What was that like?
That was so much fun. It was a really huge stage. We had a great attendance. Grand Prairie's, you know, huge country lovers, and they loved coming out to watch Mr. Ethan Corbin. And I was really fortunate to bring up a full band and play a long 45-minute set, and it flew by. It was so much fun, and it was really, you know, cool to see a lot of my Grand Prairie supporters. I have an amazing community, and a lot of them came right up to the stage and were singing along to my tunes, which was really cool to see. It was a lot of fun to meet Easton, and his entire band and crew just had this really awesome energy, really happy, positive guys, and it was great to meet them. So I had a ton of fun.
That sounds wonderful. I may have asked you in the past, but do you have a duet partner that's sort of at the top of your list, Tennille, you would like to record with one day, even if it's a huge star? Just anyone come to mind?
Oh, my goodness. There are so many people that I would love to team up
list.
With. But you know what? One would have to be Shania Twain. She's a huge, I know that sounds crazy, it's a really big dream, but she's been, you know, a ginormous inspiration of mine, being Canadian and you know, being so original and so successful in stepping out of the box and making a difference for the country music scene. I really admire everything that she does, so I'm a huge fan of that. That'd be pretty cool.
And it's so great to see Shania with her reality show and watching the process of her coming back to the music scene. I was watching an episode last week with Lionel Richie, and he's coming out with an album of country duets, and she's singing Endless Love with him, and to watch her go through the process of recording the song as her confidence built, and he encouraged her, and I think pretty soon we're going to have a full-blown album from her.
I hope so. I mean, I really enjoy watching that series, too, and just kind of seeing what she's up to, and I think it's pretty cool of her to be sharing all those experiences with everybody. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely gives us more insight into her life. We're going to turn to your music now here in the Country Up Close Artist Spotlight with Tennille. And the song is Pictures on a Crooked Wall. Tell us a bit about the song. Of course, there's a video to it, and there's so much meaning to this song. Can you tell us a bit about it, and then we're going to share it here.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for spinning it, Dave. I really appreciate that. This song is one that's really close to my heart. I wrote this song with my friends Dana Blayon from Peace River and Tim Taylor from Nashville, and we threw around the title "Crooked Little Picture on a Wall," and it ended up evolving that, you know, it wasn't the picture that was crooked; it was the actual foundation. It was the wall that picture was, you know, hanging on, and it became the theme song for a fundraiser I started a couple years ago in honor of my hometown youth shelter, the Sunrise House. And every time it's played or every time I sing it, it's done so in honor of youth with a really weak family foundation. It's an important issue that's, you know, everywhere around the world and even on a local level. So I'd love to make a difference to change that in the video. I really hope to spread some awareness about that. So this song is, in dedication to youth who need a little help in hand.
We're going to share the song. When we come back, we're going to be talking again with our special guest, Carly Justice, and we have got some great more topics to cover, including great country cover songs over the years, as well as some more buzz about upcoming albums and singles on the way. That's on the way right now. I just want to thank you, Tennille, so much for being on the show. It's always a pleasure, and all the best as the album continues to get out there.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your continued support. It's always a blast chatting with you, Dave.
Same here. Always enjoy it. Let's share it now. This is Tennille and Pictures on a Crooked Wall.
Jenny came to school today, every single hair in place, put her pencils in a row. Jenny's got it in control. If only anybody knew what she's really going through. A perfect image, but it's all pictures on a crooked wall. Thank you.
And it's a beautiful song from Grand Prairie, Alberta's own Tenille, Pictures on a Crooked Wall, a song that she co-wrote. You can find that on her CD called Real, and you can learn more about Tenille at tenille.ca. Great artist, always great to chat with her. Carly, we've got you back, and we got some great topics to cover, including country cover songs.
Let's do it.
Now, there's one out there now that I'm enjoying, Sarah Evans, My Heart Can't Tell You No. Rod Stewart had a hit back in the 80s with that song, and she's put her country spin on it, and lyrically, it works because it's one of those kind of country songs. It fits.
Yeah, I really like when country artists can put a new spin on a song that you would never imagine being country. Jamie Johnson did something similar. It was probably a long time ago. I don't think he's actually ever recorded it, but I've heard it a lot on YouTube and at concerts that he's done. But he covers a song by Meatloaf, which I think is pretty interesting. That song is 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad. And it's so interesting to hear him do that in concert because you're thinking, oh, this must be like an old Waylon Jennings song, maybe even Willie Nelson.
Right.
And then, no, it's Meatloaf.
Then there's another song that works lyrically and melodically, 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad. It's, you know, a sad, heartfelt song, and it fits. And actually, I remember going back a number of years, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band had a version of that out on one of their albums. And again, it fits. There's another song, Break It to Them Gently, from here in Canada that was a hit for Burton Cummings and the Guess Who, and several country artists have covered it. It wasn't a country song originally, but it lends itself to that.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of the George Jones tribute earlier and all those covers, I think Alan Jackson is someone who can really take a cover song and make it his own without sort of, you know, totally disregarding the original version and the original artist. You know, his Under the Influence album is absolutely one of my favorite country music albums. I love what he did with those songs. And I think for years growing up, I thought those were just Alan Jackson songs. And now that
right.
I know that, you know, the great people that he was covering on there, it's really great to see his spin on those.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite albums, too. He does them so well, those classic songs. And I was hoping, and I don't believe he did one in Under the Influences, too, because there's definitely more material to cover.
Oh, I would love to hear him do that. He's such a traditionalist, but I really appreciate that he's really stepped outside of the box, you know, the last few albums between the gospel album that he did, and then he did a very sort of adult contemporary album like Red on a Rose, and then even, you know, Good Time, which was very, you know, kind of in the pocket for Alan Jackson. You know, he wrote all of those songs alone. So it's kind of like, you know, he hasn't rested on his laurels, and he's absolutely one of my favorites as well.
Let's talk about country artists pairing up with other artists, and just as you mentioned with Alan Jackson there, of course, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, Jimmy Buffett. He put Jimmy Buffett back on the scene. Of course, he probably didn't go anywhere as far as concerts. He's still, for years and years, a fan favorite, but got him back on radio. And they work well together, and they're fun together in that song.
Yeah, I think that was actually Jimmy Buffett's first number one country song, which was great. And speaking of the Under the Influence album, Jimmy Buffett was on that as well, doing Margaritaville. So, you know, I've been to plenty of Alan Jackson concerts, and I've been to, you know, one Jimmy Buffett concert. And one thing they have in common is they know how to entertain, and their fans absolutely love them.
Now, the Zac Brown Band at the recent awards show, I believe it was last year, it was cool on that one because there were a couple of situations like this where they teamed up different genres, but James Taylor was there, and I've watched that performance many times on YouTube. I love when James Taylor shows up. It starts to sing on Colder Weather, and it fits with him, and it was a really magical moment.
Absolutely. I really like Zac Brown Band. I think they're another artist that is, you know, taking country music to a new place. And I feel like they're very authentic and come from a very real place. I kind of like their roots as sort of a jam band. You can really tell when they perform live, like on the award shows, that they love to play, and it's something they do a lot. And I think they're also, speaking of Taylor Swift, great ambassadors for country music as well.
Definitely. And when you talk in terms of ambassadors, are you referring to artists that might appeal to somebody who doesn't necessarily tune into country radio, but that would bring them in and get them to listen to other stuff?
Exactly. You know, I've heard of people refer to some artists as gateway drugs of sorts.
Right.
You know,
yep.
Starting, you know, people like Taylor Swift, who have this huge audience and introduce them to other artists that, you know, they wouldn't have necessarily heard listening to Top 40 radio. And I think Zac Brown Band does that in a way. Speaking of collaborations, their recent song with Alan Jackson, I thought that was just one of my favorite songs of the year. And it was interesting to hear Alan Jackson sort of poised as the wise older man, because I grew up listening to him, and I was like, wow, man, maybe I'm getting sort of old. But I've also heard rumors that there's going to be another Zac Brown Band, Alan Jackson duet on Alan Jackson's new album, so that's great to hear.
Wow. That is great to hear. That, yeah, that, as She's Walking Away, great song. And as you said, Alan plays the mentor in that. It's interesting to see artists transition, you know. I mean, probably going back 20 years now, time does fly, but he was the young guy on the block, and now he's sort of the mentor in that song.
Love it, yeah.
Funny how that works. Cover songs, just get touching back on that for a moment. Here in Canada, Terry Clark has released a cover of the Trooper song, Here for a Good Time. Not the George Strait song, of course, because that's a new one, but We're Here for a Good Time, Not a Long Time. Was that a big song there in the States, do you know, the Trooper song?
You know, I'm not familiar with it, but I love Terry Clark, and I bet she does a great version of it.
She does. It's a fun song. It's kind of a party anthem, life philosophy song going back a number of years, but she's covered it. It's sort of a rock song. And she does a great job on it. Of course, Brad Paisley, as we talked about earlier, brought back Alabama. And watching them on that same award show that I talked about a few moments ago, I believe, was it the CMAs? And Brad came out, and then Alabama, of course, appears at a certain point, and the crowd goes wild.
Yeah, I think he did a really nice job of integrating, and he almost sort of sampled Alabama, which is something you think of in the hip-hop genre and maybe
right.
even pop, but not country music. So it was a cool thing that he did there, and I think it was, you know, anytime you can get Alabama back on the radio, job well done. And I think a lot of Brad Paisley's songs could either go way cheesy or just way awesome, and I think that one fell into that category for sure.
Yeah, it's great to hear it for those of us who know Alabama and know the song that they're mentioning in there, Mountain Music, and just the way it all ties together. It just shows that Brad's got a great love of traditional country and country he grew up with, and that would have been somebody from that era that influenced him. Let's, Carly, here, we got in our remaining time, I want to touch on sort of buzz about upcoming albums and singles. And Alan Jackson's got a great song out now, video to accompany it, called A Long Way to Go, which some people might think of as the Bug in My Margarita song, as one of the lines
mm-hmm.
from it.
Yeah,
and that
I
is
love
a
that,
fun
that song.
Song.
Absolutely. It's got that great neo-traditional sound, like you were mentioning, when he came on the scene 20, 25 years ago. I think it could have fit right in the early 90s, and it sounds just as contemporary now. And it's a very fun song. I think it's in the vein of the things he's done with Jimmy Buffett. But I think it's got a great twist, too. So I really like that. I think I'm always looking forward to Alan Jackson's new stuff. So great to hear what he'll be doing on this new album.
Yeah, do we have any hints about the new album, what might be on it, when it's going to be released, anything beyond this first single?
I haven't heard a lot other than the Zac Brown, which I know he's become really great friends with him. I think he gave Zac Brown Band a car, one of his cars. He's like a notorious kind of car guy, and I remember seeing a picture on Twitter of him actually handing that over. Maybe it was a video, because I remember Zac Brown just absolutely freaking out about it. It's one of those great old classic cars. So they seem to really struck up a friendship, and, you know, if the last song has anything, you know, on this one, I think it'll be great.
Definitely, and I read online earlier that Leanne Womack is getting ready to head back into the studio. We can always expect a good album from her, usually traditional music, meaningful music, and, I mean, her voice is so beautiful, and she was part of the George Jones celebration last night, as we talked about earlier, and, I mean, sings like an angel.
Oh, she is just one of my absolute favorites. Her last album, Call Me Crazy, I still listen to that probably on a weekly basis. I just think she does such a great job of being, you know, like a bridge between the older stuff, because she's definitely got that Tammy Wynette kind of throwback growl to her voice, I feel like.
Yeah.
But then, you know, she's got super pop hits like Hope You Dance, that one, which was huge for her back in the day. And so I really appreciate that songs like that can lift her to a status where she feels like she can branch more out. And I feel like you hear her on everyone's albums, because I'm sure that if you can get Leanne Womack to harmonize with you or sing back up on your song, it's a real prize.
Definitely. We need to bring back some of those great duets that the great male and female country artists would do. Of course, George and Tammy and Conway and Loretta. You know, maybe Blake and Miranda could do that. I'm talking about the fun, up-tempo, you know, Mississippi Woman, Louisiana Man, those kind of songs.
Absolutely. I love the song. I was just listening to some today. And, you know, I think the first time Miranda Lambert and Blake Shelton actually met was when they sang together on a CMT special, and I believe they sang You're the Reason God Made Oklahoma. And I've seen a lot of chatter about, because you can really watch them and kind of see that there's something there when Blake Shelton was married at the time. But, yeah, songs like that, when you have two people that really have chemistry together, whether they're, you know, married like George and Tammy were, or just seem to fit together perfectly without any sort of romantic chemistry like Loretta and Conway, I think there's some magic there, because the two people really have to kind of rise to the occasion together, and I feel like you just get the best out of both of them.
Yeah, some voices just go so well together, and I've seen that George Strait special and even recently on YouTube, and You're the Reason God Made Oklahoma, originally Shelley West and David Frizzell, and it's a timeless song, beautiful song, and they did a great job on it. As you say, you can sort of see Blake in one of the shots, I mean, just looking at her so admiringly. To use one.
Yeah, I think you could really tell that something was kind of going on there under the surface,
but
obviously it worked out for both of them, I think.
It did, yeah, and the rest is history, as they say. And I'll just remind people, my special guest on this edition of In the Country, which we're calling Country Up Close because we're talking about various topics to do with country music. She's a country music blogger. She's based in Raleigh, North Carolina. And Carly, you do some great writing, and this is where I got to know you on some of these great websites, the 9513 and Engine 145. You get to review albums and singles. That must be really interesting, and you do a great job. I was reading a review the other day of Chris Young's new song, You, and I just love the way you write and describe stuff, the song.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that, and I think the best part about being able to do that is really the community that I've been able to meet and debate with and talk with, because, you know, a lot of times I think country music gets sort of a bad rap, between, you know, just kind of being, I guess, sort of the airhead pop country music that people seem to sort of relegate and think that's all that country music is. But, you know, a lot of these country music blogs, you'll find that people who really treat and hold country music up to a very high standard and want to sort of philosophize about it. I'm like, where were these classes when I was in college? You know, this would have been a great debate class to talk about all of these songs. But I think, you know, I personally hold country music to such a high regard, the history of it and really the future of it as well, that I enjoy being able to write about it and maybe contribute just a little bit as well.
And people can read those blogs at engine145.com. There's all kinds of reviews and different sections to do with country music. It's a great website. And as you mentioned about debates, what I love about the site as well, somebody will write a review, in this case you, and people will comment under it. They'll agree or disagree, sometimes passionately, and it's very interesting because that's what's great. It's great to see the differing opinions that people have on a song or an album.
Absolutely, and I think that's been the real sort of advantage of blogging. You know, you get a lot of the people that I call the internet trolls who will just come and post anonymously, but, you know, beforehand when you're reading, you know, Country Weekly or American Songwriter, there's no real interaction. You're just reading what the writer has to say, but here you can get different opinions. Like, I've even changed my mind about songs and albums after I've written about them, and hopefully, maybe, possibly change someone else's mind. But it's great because we, all of the writers at the 9513, as well as now the new site, Engine 145, we absolutely participated. We didn't just write and forget about it. We were definitely in that community, and I've met so many people, not necessarily in real life, but online, who I really respect and learn so much from.
When you review the songs, is it a case where you're listening to it four or five times to get used to it, or do you write it after the initial listen? How do you go about that?
Yeah, I'm trying to write it in stages. I try to kind of get my first reaction, so it's like a very raw, this is what I thought the very first time. But then you've got artists, you know, like I mentioned earlier with Eric Church, where I really try to give it some breathing room because I don't want my, you know, initial jerk reaction to have an effect on the review, which, you know, in a lot of the cases with his albums, like I said, they've really kind of grown on me, and I've noticed more about the album as I listen to it more. So, yeah, it really depends on the song, too. I've really found that it's much harder to write about music that you really like than it is that music that you don't like. So that's something else. But, yeah, everything is different. But we cover such a wide range of genres just within country music, from bluegrass to folk to pop country to honky-tonk to swing. So it's great to – I learn so much from the other writers as well.
Is there an artist, Carly, that you haven't met yet that is at the top of your list as wanting to meet and interview or spend, you know, half an hour having coffee with just to chat with them?
Sure. Well, you know, Alan Jackson, I think, is one of those who I really respect what he's done. He's such a quiet, reserved person, but some of the ways that he's really stood up to the industry before, like the great clip of him on either the CMA or the ACMs when George Jones had a new album out, but he wasn't invited, or he was only invited to sing a small clip of that. And Alan Jackson, that really did not sit well with him. And so when he performed that night, you know, he launched into George Jones' song Choices at the time.
Right.
And I love moments like that because you can tell that the music that he's contributing to, he has such a passion for it and just a high regard for the singers that came before him and, you know, allow him to do what he does now. And so I would love to kind of dig into sort of the feistier side of Alan Jackson because I feel like even though he's such a quiet guy that just does great country music, there's a lot more to him.
Definitely. And a great songwriter, great artist. You know, we're lucky to have him on the radio and videos, one of my favorites as well. We're getting set to wrap things up here. Boy, the hour has flown by, and we covered a lot of different topics. It was kind of a show. I thought we tried, and it worked out perfectly. We covered all those different angles, topics, and we had Tennille on. And it's been such a pleasure talking with you, Carly.
Same to you. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me.
Been a pleasure. Hope we can do this again, and we'll find some more topics to cover, some more special guests, and we'll get people learning a few things about country music.
Let's do it.
Sounds good to me. My special guest tonight on the line has been country music blogger and journalist Carly Justice. She's based in Raleigh, North Carolina, and she writes for Roots Music Blog, Engine 145. You can find them online at engine145.com. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of Country Up Close here on In the Country.
Spend some-